This is the Liberty Weekly Review, produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County, with your window on the world of local, state, and national issues. Host John DePrisco and the panel taking your calls at 239-430-2428. That's 430-CHAT. To find out more about the Libertarian Party of Collier County, go to collierlp.com or look them up on Facebook. And now, the Liberty Weekly Review.
And welcome to the Liberty Weekly Review. This is episode 4, Where There's Smoke, There's Taxes. Episode 4, Where There's Smoke, There's Taxes. I'm John DePrisco. The show is produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County. We have one guest in studio today, and I'll be introducing him shortly. We also do want your call-ins at 430-CHAT. That is 239-430-2428. And as I mentioned in prior weeks, and I want to mention it again, please support our advertisers. That's how we are able to produce this show. And in particular, I want to mention McDonald Insurance at 596-0000. I use McDonald Insurance and have been a customer for over a decade. And I can tell you, they really do take good care of you. We are going to start with a brief week in the review. And on the phone with us is Dr. Joe Doyle, backed by popular demand. And Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, good afternoon, John.
And how did we do this week?
Well, we had a busy week. We're just wrapping it up. The election season is in full swing with the school board race for Collier County. There were two forums. One was on Monday, sponsored by the League of Women Voters and the Greater Naples Better Government group. And then on Thursday, we had the Florida Citizens Alliance had a school board forum on Marco Island. So we're getting to know the school board candidates and their positions on the various issues. There's another forum coming up on Wednesday, May 23rd. Dave Elliott will be the moderator.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have more information on that next week. But it's important for people to attend these forums and to also see the questionnaires that the candidates fill out, because that's their job interview for these positions that are four-year terms.
Absolutely.
And along those same lines, as you know, we've been talking about the 1% sales surtax in Collier County. The Collier County Republican Party took a position at its meeting on Monday to oppose the surtax. 81% of Republicans in a recent survey are against the tax, so we're going to be getting that out to the voters for the November ballot.
Okay.
And we had a school board meeting in Collier County, and the school board has elected to appeal the recent litigation that they lost on the 7069, which dealt mostly with charter schools. They're going to go ahead with the appeal and request another $30,000 in legal fees. And also they've adopted the science textbooks. So parents, community members now have 30 days, which will end on June 7th. June 7th at 4 p.m. to get their objections in on the textbooks. So I encourage parents to go online to the Collier County District's school website and look at the books that are being proposed. Look them over and submit any objections you may have to these materials.
All righty.
And then, of course, we had the North Collier Fire District had its board meeting on Thursday morning, and I know your guests will be talking more about that, but it's interesting. There was a huge turnout.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the folks from Bentley Village were there because at this point Bentley Village is being classified as an institution rather than residential, and also some large commercial members, most notably the Ritz-Carlton Hotels, was in the audience and making public comment because of the proposed commercial rate. We, as the residential people, should be concerned about the $254 non-ad valorem fee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the week got off. This coming week, we have the Collier County Public Schools. We'll have a work session on the budget where they'll set budget policy for the budget that will be revealed at the end of the summer.
Okay, and just as an additional point, the North Collier Fire Control and Rescue District had a town hall Thursday night, which I did attend and met our guest that I'll introduce in just a few seconds. But, Joe, we really appreciate it, and we'll hear from you next week.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
Okay, and so the topic today is the non-ad valorem fire assessment fee, which is being proposed by the North Collier Fire Control and Rescue District. We did have the chairman of the commissioners, Christopher Lombardo, was scheduled to be a guest. Unfortunately, on short notice, he got called away. And so they have provided for us the executive director of the district, and that is Sal D'Angelo. Since 1994, Chief D'Angelo has worked in the public sector as a firefighter, a fire inspector, a management budget analysis, a health, safety, and environmental officer, a deputy fire chief, a fire chief, and emergency management director. Director D'Angelo possesses a Bachelor of Business Administration, a Master of Public Administration, and a Doctor of Philosophy in Public Administration from Florida Atlantic University. Director D'Angelo is a member of the American Society for Public Administration and has lectured throughout the country on scale economies and efficiencies and emergency management. And Sal, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here. And on behalf of the North Collier Fire Control and Rescue District, thank you for having us.
Excellent. And if we could just get started with basic definitions, can you let our listeners know what the difference would be between an ad valorem, which means per value or of the value of your house, versus a non-ad valorem assessment fee?
Sure. So, John, an ad valorem is it's based off of the property valuation of your house, i.e. the taxable value. So, for instance, every year the property appraiser goes out in the community and appraises the valuations of the various occupancies in our case, the district. And they will come to a taxable valuation of the North Fire Control District. That number is $30 billion, and we're charging, say, $1 million. That number would be, for revenue purposes, $30 million. So, again, ad valorem is based off of the taxable valuation of our fire district. In contrary, the non-ad valorem is actually based, it's a benefit provided or a benefit to the property owner. So fire service, for instance, has been deemed in the courts a benefit to the community. So therefore, a non-ad valorem is not based off of a property value. Rather, it's based off of a unit of standardized measure, and it's an assessment or a fee charged to a residential dwelling. In our case, the one being proposed is a fixed fee assessment per dwelling unit, not based on a square footage. However, when you look at the commercial side, the industrial warehouse side, or the institutional side, we have come up with a cost per square foot, i.e. that is the standard unit of measure. So those are your two general basic differences.
Okay, and take a few minutes right now and explain to us what the district is proposing and why.
Absolutely. What the district is proposing is a methodology that incorporates both non-ad valorem fire fee assessments in conjunction with a smaller ad valorem portion. Currently, the district, let's start back in 2015. Mm-hmm. North Collier became a one fire district when they incorporated or merged. The residents voted to merge the North Naples service delivery area with the Big Corkscrew Island service delivery area. Those two fire districts were voted in by the electorate of those jurisdictional boundaries to become the North Collier Fire Control and Rescue District. When that took place and commenced in January of 2015, the two service delivery areas have kept their own separate millage rates, okay. 3.5 with a cap of 3.75 and 1. So what we're trying to accomplish now is to equalize, promoting the equalization of a standardized millage rate, coupled with paying for the fire assessment portion of the budget or the fire portion of the budget. So that's how we got to where we are today. And that kind of answers the why. We're trying to go district-wide with an equalization of the millage rate district-wide. Take those two millage rates, the disparity in the two millage rates, get to one millage rate, and then have a portion of our budget. In this case, for year one, it's about $26 million. Have that portion, which is the fire side, covered by this non-ad valorem assessment.
Okay. And just for full disclosure, so that our listeners know, I was in the Big Corkscrew side.
Okay.
So now I'm in the district, and I can attest to the fact that, you know, my millage was 3.5 because I'm on the eastern side of the county, and our property values are going to be $250,000 versus a condo on the west side for $2.5 million. So, there was that disparity in the beginning, and so this is a proposal for how to maybe average it out and then give an actual cost per benefit.
Correct, and as far as the numbers, we can talk about the various numbers within the non-ad valorem side. As far as the non-ad valorem assessments, we have to look at categorically looking at residential, industrial warehouses, institutional, and vacant land as well. There are a lot of vacant land or parcels that are currently vacant in the district. So with regards to the analyses, we looked at 3 years forecasting, what we call pro forma budgets, and we look at the fire side of the equation and EMS. The non-ad valorem fire assessment strictly focuses on the fire side of the equation. So when you look at that and you forecast out for fiscal years 2021 and 22, you come up with a three-year average assessable cost. In our case, it came out to about $26.6 million. You also look at, over that same time period, the historical demand for fire service calls, not EMS, but strictly fire service calls. And it's about 5,000 calls for service on the fire side. And then you take those numbers, you take the average numbers on the budget, and then you break all of them up into where was the demand for service. Was it residential, institutional, commercial? So you break all that down and you get a stratification of how you break out your budget. And then you do mathematical division, and then that's how you get to the 254, the 56 cents per square foot, and so on.
Okay. Let's take a break and come back and do those numbers a little more in detail, and we can spend some time on that.
Connor, what's the name of your chicken?
Peggy.
And what do you think the most important part of taking care of Peggy is?
Giving her water, giving her food, letting her roam around and eat the greens a lot in her field.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. At McDonald Insurance, we love taking care of our customers as well, providing them value with integrity. At McDonald Insurance, we have 12 homeowners insurance companies and 8 auto insurance companies. You'll never have to worry about whether you got the best deal. You always will at McDonald. Call 239-596-0000. What's that number, Connor?
596-0000.
239-596-0000. Or online at www.insurancemcdonald.com. That's www.insurancemcdonald.com. Bye, Connor.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Helping people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
Zika is still a threat, and its effect on an unborn child can be devastating and lifelong. So we can't let our guard down. To protect against getting Zika from mosquitoes, wear insect repellent, long sleeve shirts, and long pants. Dump standing water and use window screens or AC. To prevent Zika spread from sex, use condoms, especially if you're pregnant. Let's keep stopping Zika. Learn more at cdc.gov/preventzika. This message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
And now, back to the Liberty Weekly Review on 98.9 WGUF.
And we are back with the Executive Director of the North Collier Fire Control and Rescue District, Sal D'Angelo. And Sal, we were just going over how the district came up with these numbers, how it came up to 254.
Excellent. Thank you, John. Yeah, in regards to, just to recap, the methodology is based off the historical demand methodology for calls for service using the 2016 call data coming out of CAD. So how did we get to the 254?
CAD meaning computer aided
dispatch.
Yeah.
Thank you. I apologize.
That's all right. That's all right.
How do we get to the residential number 254? So as I stated a little bit earlier, when you look at the calls for service for fire, you come up with a number of approximately 4,987 calls for service, strictly on the fire side. And then you take that 4,987 calls for service and you get a percentage of where are those calls actually being generated from. For instance, for residential, 67.54% of those calls are generated on the residential side of the equation. So you take that 67.54% and then you assess what portion of those assessable costs are actually related to the residential side based upon the $26 million of that pro forma budget that I talked about. Mm-hmm. Then you take a look at the actual parcel data within the jurisdictional boundaries for our case, which is that standardized billing unit we're mm-hmm. talking about, and it's approximately 70,967. So here's how you get to the per unit rate. You look at the portion of the assessable costs, you divide that by your billing units, which then you come up with that fixed unit rate. You do the same exact methodology all the way down for commercial, industrial, and institutional. And what's interesting, what we found through this analysis, is that commercial and institutional are generating 28% of those volume of fire service calls. What we found strictly under the ad valorem side of the equation is the demand for service is actually a little over 28%. But under ad valorem, over 80%+ of the revenue coming in is actually being borne by the residential side of the equation.
Right.
So in essence, what we're trying to do is, if you will, redistribute some of that revenue that's coming into the district and portion that off to the commercial and the institutional side, or, you know, trying to make it, if you will, fair. And I know as we've been going out and talking, saying, well, it's not completely fair because you're putting sometimes more of a burden on those on the residential side that are, say, under a certain taxable value. But this does shift a portion of those costs to where the demand is actually being needed. So that's, in essence, how you get to those numbers.
Right. And so when you add those numbers back up, obviously you get to 100%. And so people can look very easily and see total dollar amounts times percentage to that particular unit times number of units is going to come down to 254 for me, something else for my vacant lot.
Absolutely. As far as, you know, you bring up vacant lots. Currently, our vacant lots in our district as of now, it produces about 4%, let's say 3.5% of the actual demand for service based on that historical demand methodology, strictly on the fire side. So we have a portion of those assessable costs are just under $1 million based on the 10,586 billing units or parcels. When you take those numbers, the 950, and you divide it by the 10,000, you're going to get a per unit rate for every vacant parcel in the district of $90, which is what you're seeing in terms of our conversation for this, is a per unit rate of $90. So that is the standardization of the rates.
Okay. And a lot of Collier County is under state parks, national parks. Do you respond to those, and do we eat those costs, or how can you get reimbursed?
Yes, sir. John, to answer your question, there are what we call government buy-downs or institutional buy-downs. Those are exemptions. There are certain parcels within not just North Collier, but every governmental mm-hmm. entity has exempt parcels. One of the largest ones in our fire districts are approximately 20 to 25 of the churches, along with the school district, the governmental entities, some of our private schools, and even some of our institutions of hospitals and certain centers for the aged. Those are currently wholly exempt, where we do not collect any taxes, and I'm talking ad valorem mm-hmm. on those facilities. So as of right now, we're considering those exempt as well, to where we will not charge or collect anything unless the Board of Fire Commissioners makes a policy adjustment to those parcels.
Okay. But I'm talking about like Picayune, Strand, or any of these other national
Correct.
Parks or state parks.
We do
Are
respond.
You able to ask those governments, county, state, maybe throw a little in? Or
We can. yes, to answer your question, yes, we can. Again, the Board of Fire Commissioners. And do we respond out there for calls? Absolutely. Between the three fire districts, and actually even in Lee County, when we're having mutual aid, automatic aid, the fire districts always are responding to those. As a matter of fact, I think they're out there now,
right?
Responding to calls to protect the community. And yes, the Board of Fire Commissioners can work with those state agencies if they deem necessary to try to recoup some of those costs. And they do that now, John, on a state level through state intergovernmental aid if the monies are there.
Okay. Now, if the governor declares an emergency in that particular state park, does that open up additional monies for you?
Yes, it does. And like I said, if those monies are there, the local governmental agencies will work with the governor's office and the state agencies that oversee that to be reimbursed for the costs if the monies are there. Sometimes they're not, and we don't always get full reimbursed for it. However, we're not going to stop responding.
Sure. And there might be FEMA or other...
Yeah, just like with Hurricane Irma, when you have a federally declared disaster, that in turn opens up, if you will, the FEMA reimbursement process where we will track our costs and we will submit those through a FEMA program director, and then we will work with the state to get reimbursed on those, sometimes at 100%, sometimes at 75% of total cost.
Mm-hmm. I want to move a little bit into that 254 number. We're dealing with Florida Statute Chapter 191 specifically that allows for the creation of the non-ad valorem assessment fee. It also allows for what could be considered, I'm going to call it COLA, like cost of living adjustment. Like, how can that 254 number go up without a referendum? According to the chapter, I believe it's based on a number that the state creates, a state income number.
Yeah, what you'll have in that Chapter 191 is as far as how can the number increase? First, the board, if the board chooses to move forward, they will adopt a certain rate schedule, the 254 for the single family home.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to the electorate to vote in. The average annual growth rate in Florida personal income, it's the average over the last 5 years.
Right.
That in referendum, that is the only way that you can, once the voters approve this at the first time, the first election process, once that gets voted in, that is the only way by state law that those numbers can go up. Now, sometimes that number that I just stated can be in the negative.
Yeah.
And sometimes it could be 1%, 2%. That is how those rates can go up. They cannot exceed that. If the Board of Fire Commissioners chooses that to exceed that rate, you must and you shall go back to the voters mm-hmm. of the district for a referendum. So there is the accountability portion of it. The state recognizes that you have to have some COLA built in to those rates, and this is what the state has allowed the governmental entities to choose
right.
to use.
So if we just took a very hypothetical number of like 5%, because it does look like they are moving upwards. There was an article in the news today about a local company that stated 6%. They were giving a 6% raise. So let's just use 5 as a number. My 254 would automatically go up about $13 next year. Is that correct?
If the board chooses, just like they have to adopt a millage rate every year, John, mm-hmm. if the board chooses to do that, then they have the ability. As long as the ballot question that is written mm-hmm. references fees can go up per accordance with Chapter 191. So to answer your question, yes. But the board will make those decisions during the open budgetary process every year.
Okay, so it's not automatic. It's not just they take a state number and automatically raise it, let's say, $13 a year.
That's what the board is allowed to do okay. under state law, but they still will, just like they do the millage rate every year, they will choose to adopt that increase or not, just leave it at 254 or use that five-year average growth rate.
Okay, and on the other side, this is what we're dealing with, I guess, is a hybrid. You're going to have non-ad valorem and ad valorem. Even if we accept the fact that politicians are making a promise that they're going to drop it to 0.5, they could certainly raise that number in following years. And it's already approved. They could already go up to one millage rate on the western side and technically up to 3.75 on the eastern side.
That is correct. The millage rate, like I stated earlier, the millage rate cap in North Naples, we're at, it's 1. It's been that way since the inception of the district. In Big Corkscrew, they're at 3.5. Their cap is this, what the state law allows, 3.75. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, yes, the Board of Fire Commissioners, the elected officials of the fire district, are promoting the equalization of a millage rate, which we've been talking about, 0.5. But yes, they do have the authority and the ability to, on the North Naples side, put it at 1, and on the Big Corkscrew side, 3.75.
Right. And just, again, for full disclosure to the listeners, the first year, if it goes this way, if it's voted in and if the commissioners keep their promises, my rate would actually go down $78. Now, it's possible that on the, especially on the western side of the district, the numbers could go up pretty significantly for certain individuals?
Yes. There are certain communities. Let's use Naples Park. I'm going to be speaking at Poinciana Village on Monday night. And there are certain pockets within the district where they are currently either paying very little in ad valorem or in some cases none based upon all the exemptions that they may have. Mm-hmm. So like I stated, your taxable value comes after you have the assessed value minus your exemptions. So the non-ad valorem captures in certain communities will actually see an increase based upon, one, the valuation of their house minus the exemptions. The ad valorem assessment captures that of a fixed rate for everybody across the board at 254. Mm-hmm. So there are certain pockets in our community that actually will see an increase.
Okay. And I think at this point we will take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue with Sal D'Angelo.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
What's one of your favorite memories?
That's a tough question. Well, there was this one time I went camping with my parents in a forest back when I was maybe like 8 or 9. And I can remember one night we were laying out in our hammocks and we were just, you know, watching the trees rustling in the wind above us, and we could hear the sounds of the forest all around us. Frogs singing and owls calling and the creek running nearby. It was amazing. It felt like we were a part of it all. I don't know if I do it justice trying to describe it, but I'll definitely never forget it.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Hi, I'm Mike McDonald with the McDonald Insurance Agency in Naples, Florida. I'm here with my son, Connor. Hey, Connor, do you play football?
Yes, Daddy, I do.
I used to play football, too, but now I try to protect people from the unexpected. I give them the very best insurance at the very best rate. I give them choices because I'm an independent insurance agent, unlike people who only have one choice. Connor, we work very hard to protect our clients. What's the hardest thing you do in football?
Learning how to block on the offensive line.
You know, Connor, practice does make perfect. And here at the McDonald Insurance Agency, we pride ourselves in always practicing good business principles, the golden rule, so our clients always have a great experience. If you want to find us, look us up online at insurancemcdonald.com. That's insurancemcdonald.com. Telephone number 239-596-0000. That's 239-596-0000.
Go McDonald!
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is the Liberty Weekly Review on 98.9 WGUF.
And we are back with Executive Director Sal D'Angelo of the North Collier Fire Control and Rescue District, and we are talking about the non-ad valorem assessment fee. And Sal, I guess, you know, some people are asking maybe the obvious question, why not do something else? Why not do 30-year bonds, or why not just go keep with the millage rate and go up 0.01, or, you know, what are some of the other options and alternatives that people might be for?
Oh, great question. Thanks, John. With regards to, let's start with the bonds. The fire district, like many governmental entities, do have the ability to do bonds, general obligation bonds we'll talk about briefly. Mm-hmm. The voter, the electorate, if we were to put it out there to finance a fire station, the district is allowed to do that under state law. The policymakers are the ones that make those decisions. For North Naples, North Collier, the policymakers for the most part, have always done pay-as-you-go, using reserves, setting aside money from reserves assigned for capital projects. So that's how we have approached the policymaking side of it in years past. And of course, that does provide a relief because you're not paying all of the interest and those additional fees when you have the cash to pay for it. But are bonds appropriate for these type of avenues or construction? The answer is yes. And that may be something the board looks at in the future, particularly if this methodology or a ad valorem increase is not sought after. They may have to go to other alternative sources of financing, one being bonds.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, a local example, many years ago, the city of Marco Island ran out bonds for their water utility. And but, you know, that was an issue too. The Chapter 191, as I read it, does it allow for non-ad valorem assessment fees to be used for reserve allocations? Because that's a future use.
Yeah, to my understanding and interpretation of the statute, it does allow you to place, I don't know if the statute specifically says reserves, but it says for the continuity or the operations of the fire district. So my answer to that question would be yes.
Okay. And the district itself, how does it compare to other districts and city departments in the area? I mean, in terms of your costs, your salary, your benefits, your pensions.
Great question. We're working on, and actually I think they just completed as I was coming back on board, they had partnered with Florida Gulf Coast University doing a salary and wage survey. Mm-hmm. That should be coming out next month or within the next 2 months at the board meeting. But in regards to, let's just take firefighter. Let's mm-hmm. just take the position of firefighter. The starting wage, hourly wage for the firefighter is in the $14 range. So when you actually look at it in respect to the other, I believe, 20 agencies that are in that wage and salary survey, for the position firefighter, we're actually below the 80th percentile in regards to the base, the midpoint, and then the max. So, and that's looking at you know, that's looking and comparing us to fire districts, cities, counties all over the state of Florida. So on the firefighter side, we need to do a better job at that level. Where we do and catch up and do a little bit better job, according to the study when I was looking at it, the higher up you go, we're more in line with the actual average of the respondents that were in the study. And in some cases, we were in the 80th percentile. So it varies from mm-hmm. position to position, but I just wanted to state that at the firefighter rank, we're actually below the average in the study.
Right. Now, in prior episodes, if I could try to compare apples to apples here, we were talking about school teachers, and that the first level or first year school teacher makes about $41,000. I did the math on this, and 14.89 times the hours comes right at about $40,000 to $41,000 for the firefighters. And we have noticed, especially from school teachers and others, that when they start just living in Collier County, the math doesn't work. They can't afford housing. And
absolutely. And it's the same problem all over the country. Look what's going on with school teachers right now across the country mm-hmm. with regards to walking out. And those issues, those are very complex and tough policy issues that are actually being discussed right now at the Board of County Commissioners in Collier County, mm-hmm. at the Sheriff's Department with affordable housing. And you know, we're having to deal with that with regards to the same thing at the firefighter, the fire service level as well. So I don't have an answer. I don't think there is an answer yet for that across the county, mm-hmm. but I know we're dealing with it in Lee County as well. And that's why when you look at the starting salaries, yes, people talk about our benefits and you know, we have a pension. Yes, we do. But when you look at it sometimes from across the state on a broader scale, we're not always as high as people think we are.
Because of the cost of living.
Because
in
of the cost of living in Collier County. Yeah. It's one of the highest in the state of Florida. And in some places, you can compare Collier County to one of the highest in the country.
Right. Now, getting back to the example of the school teacher, if that teacher goes back and let's say she gets a master's degree, the school automatically gives her a bump in pay. Is there something similar to that in the fire district?
And rightfully so. School teachers, I am a big fan of education. And so I just want to, good for them. They deserve it. And as far as firefighters go, yes, if a firefighter becomes a paramedic, there is a bump in the salary. And do they deserve it? Yes, they do, because now we're expecting more of those fire personnel EMS personnel in the field before they even get to the hospital to do advanced life-saving procedures that could someday save your life or my life. So they do deserve an extra bump in pay. Some people call it perks. I particularly don't call it that. I call it, just advanced knowledge and education for what they're, that skill set that they're being expected to use. So yeah, they do make additional dollars. I don't know the exact amount that our paramedics get on the base, but yes, it is an additional amount, several thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm. And just, I use the word perquisite, which is like requisite. I don't use it, the perk word, as people think additional money for no reason. But if, let's say, for example, a truck gets called out and it's a false alarm and there's four gentlemen on the truck and one of them is an ALS, is he getting the additional money just, or is he going out as a firefighter first?
No, it's the beauty of the fire service. You know, there's these dual roles that the fire service, I call it mission creep, but to answer your question specifically, he's being paid as a firefighter and a paramedic. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of the fire service. They have the dual certifications. More and more has been asked of our fire personnel, of our law enforcement over the years. So yes, they're going out as a firefighter and an ALS service provider. Regardless of how many individuals are on the truck, doesn't matter the type of call, you're getting a firefighter paramedic or a firefighter EMT to handle any situation that comes our way.
But it is possible that he's going out and he's getting paid the higher rate, but he's doing the, just the firefighter position.
Yes, but you could say on a fire situation as well, they're going to be utilizing those skills. God forbid you have a mayday or something happens during the scene. You're going to need all of those skills come together, not only fire skill, but you could have building collapse. So that same firefighter that is also a paramedic could have advanced knowledge and requisite education dealing with building collapse or trench rescue. So again, the fire scenes are very dynamic. They're very unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And to have all of those levels of education and certifications on a scene, the public is getting a very good, if you will, bang for their buck, if you will, with all of the knowledge and education that's required of us today.
Mm-hmm. And again, on that theme, when a call goes out and to 911 or dispatch, and they roll the various services, so you may have a deputy show up with an AE device in his trunk. You may have the Collier District show up with a paramedic on board, and then you may have EMS show up in an ambulance. Is there too much overlap sometimes? Or
no, actually, sometimes I don't think we have enough personnel, and I'll give you a perfect example. Mm-hmm. A cardiac arrest. You want 5 to 7 people on that scene. If it's a deputy assisting, you need that, because sometimes you're not only dealing with the patient, mm-hmm. you're dealing with your surrounding dynamics of the scene, depending upon where the scene's taking place. Mm-hmm. If it's, you're dealing with additional family members, especially if you have a child on your hands, now you're dealing with the family members. So you need those extra bodies on the scene. Mm-hmm. And to work a cardiac arrest from start to finish till that person gets to the hospital, you need at least 5 to 6 people. So when I certainly understand why the questions are asked, well, we're getting a fire truck and an ambulance. That's correct. Yeah. If you just had an ambulance show up on scene with 2 to 3 people on that cardiac arrest, that's not enough people. So what we're doing at North Collier is we're looking at ways of redistributing or reutilizing some of our resources with regards to getting onto scenes, if you will, with smaller vehicles to augment, instead of having the fire truck go, having our squads or our rescue trucks go versus the traditional fire truck. It doesn't take away, though, from the number of personnel, qualified personnel on scene to deal with the situation.
Okay. And you guys are under collective bargaining. Do you know if the union has come out with an official stance on this assessment fee?
Yes, I do. Local 2297 has officially come out in support of the hybrid or the non-ad valorem with the ad valorem. And kudos to the fire district and the local. They've worked very well together over the years harmoniously. They've not all the time do you agree, but that's part of it. That's when you sit down at the table and you look at the issues you're dealing with and you eventually come to an agreement. But to answer your question, the local 2297 has taken an official stance to support the proposed methodology that we're discussing.
Okay. And we spoke a little bit about alternatives like 30-year bonds and so forth, but let's just go real short term. Let's say this gets voted down, and the next year, what do you do? obviously you're at millage.
That's correct. And the Board of Fire Commissioners, there's a couple things. You see, if they stay with the current disparate millage rates of 1 and 3.5 on the big corkscrew side, if it necessitates, you can go to the cap of 3.75. But if that's not done, then you live within your means with regard to the growth of the district, whatever that number may be. We'll get the preliminary numbers from the property appraiser coming out in June 1st, and then we will have the final evaluation of the district, like all governmental entities, in July. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is, if this does not move forward, you live within your means.
Okay. And with regards to Supervisor of Elections, I'm sorry, she has mandated this comes out in the August ballot. Is that correct?
That is a correct statement. We have the communication from the Supervisor of Elections because the general election has a very lengthy ballot and there's a lot of items on the November general election. So the independent fire districts, us included, along with the other independent fire districts that are potentially pursuing this, we are going on the August 2018 primary ballot.
Okay. And I think we're right at a break point, so we will go to our final break, and we'll come back with Sal D'Angelo.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that?
Giving up on what?
On getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo grounds. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right. Which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
Connor,
mm-hmm.
What's the name of your chicken?
Peggy.
And what do you think the most important part of taking care of Peggy is?
Giving her water, giving her food, letting her roam around and eat the greens a lot in her field.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. At McDonald Insurance, we love taking care of our customers as well, providing them value with integrity. At McDonald Insurance, we have 12 homeowners insurance companies and 8 auto insurance companies. You'll never have to worry about whether you got the best deal. You always will at McDonald. Call 239-596-0000. What's that number, Connor?
596-0000.
239-596-0000. Or online at www.insurancemcdonald.com. That's www.insurancemcdonald.com. Bye, Connor.
Want to talk to the panel? Call the Liberty Weekly Review at 239-430-2428. That's 430-CHAT.
And we are back with Executive Director Sal D'Angelo from the North Collier Fire Control and Rescue District. And we are talking about the non-ad valorem fire assessment fee. And did you want to go back real quick to something that you were speaking on, Sal?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. With regards to independent fire districts, with regards to voting taxation and non-ad valorem assessment fees, we need to understand that independent fire districts are treated differently, and that it does put the power of the voting rights in the people's hands. So for these items, we have to go to a vote of the electorate in our fire district. If we were a county or a city, the board of county commissioners or the elected officials within the cities, they can vote on these items without going in most cases to the electorate. So, and the other thing is, under state law, we are capped at 3.75. When you get into municipal service taxing units or MSBUs, benefit units, or just millage rates in general, counties and cities can actually go up to 10 mils. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make that clarification. Independent fire districts are treated differently in state law.
Correct. And getting back then to the structure of the non-ad valorem fee, and I lost my spot. Oh, I'm sorry. The ad valorem is covered under homestead, save our homes, elderly deductions. The non-ad valorem, my understanding, is not covered by those.
That's correct. And like we were talking about earlier in the segment, some of the individuals under ad valorem that have various deductions will often not pay anything in property taxes because of the deductions. And then the taxable value is so low that the ad valorem comes out to zero. What the non-ad valorem does for some of those residences is it captures that $254 fee that it the homestead, save our homes, and those other deductions that we're talking about. It does not capture that under a non-ad valorem. So yes, the individuals will pay $254 under the non-ad valorem assessment fee if it gets voted in.
Okay. And let's go to maybe a hot topic, some of the responses you've been getting at the public meetings. And I will tell you, we're produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County, and I don't speak for them officially, but they do hold a position of any taxation is really a negative, and certainly anything that can create a lien on your property, which the non-ad valorem also creates an immediate lien, if I read Chapter 191 correctly. How are some of the responses been?
It's been varied. As Dr. Doyle was talking about during his segment, we'll just use Bentley Village, for example, since that was stated and came up. They came to our board meeting the other day, obviously, to speak out in opposition based upon the way they're classified and the way they are their use code is under the Collier County Property Appraiser. So that particular group is not happy because they will be assessed the 56 cents over as an institutional over the square footage. And there's a lot of square footage in that particular community that gets assigned under the institutional. So they are obviously in opposition of it. You have some residents, now getting back to the single family side of the equation, we have some residents in various communities that even though they're getting an increase, they have told us that if you can explain to us why you need the funding, we are happy to vote for you for this. Now, we as a fire district, we educate. We don't advocate how to vote. We cannot do that by law. So our job is to solely educate. But overall, from we did our first town hall meeting, like you talked about, we have been doing and going out to various HOAs and communities speaking on this. And it has been, for the most part, very positive. At least that's the feedback that I have gotten. Once the residents understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it, that transparency with the public, you're not always going to get people to agree, but we've had very good response from those individuals that, yes, we'll see a reduction from the ad valorem, and even some of those individuals that are going to be paying more. It's generally been very positive.
Okay. And again, full disclosure, the Collier County Republican Executive Committee, Chief Lombardo holds an official position with them. Have you heard anything from the Republicans or the Democrats as to are they holding any position on this?
No, I have not.
Okay. So they haven't come out one way or the other yet.
Yeah, I don't think they've come out one way or the other with an official position. If they have, I just am not aware of it. I just know we're continuing our educational campaigns in the public. Mm-hmm. And like I stated, not everybody is going to see an increase. Some people will see a decrease, and it's anytime you talk taxes or raising fees, it's going to be a hot button topic.
Right. Now, to bring up something that Chief Cunningham mentioned, if you are against this, or if for some reason the board doesn't keep their promises or something goes really astray, you can vote them out. And my question to him, and he was very honest with his answer, you know, what you've got in this situation as it currently stands, the way it's worded, you're going to have certain individuals, like myself included, where the number's going to go down. You have probably a large number of people where it's going to be a wash. You have a few people where it's going to go up a little bit. And then you probably got a tiny number of people who the number is going to go up significantly. The ability for that small group as a political unit to vote anyone out is probably nil. You know, how can people, you know, what other remedies would a payee have or what could they pursue?
Well, with regards to the non-ad valorem assessment, let me just talk about what I know there. The Board of Fire Commissioners, they become the valuation board. So if I understood you correctly, if this gets voted in, the individuals have the ability to come and speak to the Board of Fire Commissioners about their assessment. With regards to, you know, vote the bums out or...
That was my phrase. Yeah. I didn't use it, but that was my phrase.
Yeah,
Chief Cunningham,
As I'm reading that.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, the elected officials are voted in by individuals to do what's right for their constituency base. We provide recommendations to trying to deal with these very complex and tough policy issues. The Board of Fire Commissioners have made a commitment. The current Board of Fire Commissioners have made a commitment that if this goes through, they want to reduce the millage rate district wide. It truly would not be, it would not behoove them to promote that and have us talking about it and then all of a sudden turn around and say, you know what, we're going to, you know, we've been talking about the 0.5 mil district wide, but now we're going to go ahead and charge 1 mil in North Naples and 3.5 in Big Corkscrew. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, those commissioners should be voted out of office if we do that. And
right.
We don't have commissioners, from my knowledge, and I've known them for years, we don't have elected fire officials. They care about their fire district. They care about the community. And the last thing that I see them doing is going against their word.
Okay. And just maybe in the last 2 minutes that we have here or so, can you tell us a little bit about the makeup of the board in terms of, I believe one person is running for another office, and so that's a vacancy, and are two others running, or what?
Great question, John. Okay. Yes. One of our fire commissioners who has served the district very well, Commissioner John McGowan, is running for circuit judge.
Okay.
And he had to, by law, give up and resign from the Board of Fire Commissioners as he's running for judge. Mm-hmm. And then the other four commissioners, we have two seats up, and that it's Commissioner Burke and Commissioner Lombardo. Those two seats are up this November. So we currently have four fire commissioners. The board is normally made up of five fire commissioners, mm-hmm. some at large, some within their respective districts, North Naples or the Big Corkscrew area. And those seats are going to be voted on in November. So the Board of Fire Commissioners at the June meeting will be listening to potential candidates that want to potentially sit in on an interim basis for Commissioner McGowan's seat. And then they have the option to run if they choose to in when that seat comes up.
Okay. So the board itself can place for that vacant seat for just a small period of time.
Yes.
Okay. And do we know if the other two individuals have already stated that they're running, rerunning?
I believe, yes.
I'm not going to hold you to
this. No, I believe they both have. I think Commissioner Burke has filed, and I'm not sure if Commissioner Lombardo has filed yet, but they both have stated that they are running for office again.
And do you know if any other individuals have stated that they might also run or go for the vacant seat? Or
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. I mean, officially. That's,
Yeah, I'm not aware. I'm sure if there are there, if they have filed or with that intent, they will be in the wherever that is held on the website for the Supervisor of Elections.
Okay. And just like in the last minute, if you want to bring up any kind of points.
Well, what I would like to do is just talk a little bit about our public education and getting out into the community and maybe talk about some of the dates where we're going to be.
Okay. Real quick. What are the
gotcha.
Dates and where?
May 30th, 2018, we'll be at Palmetto Ridge High School. We have a town hall meeting at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
May 30th, 2018. And then another one, June 7, 2018, which is going to be strictly for business owners. We want to talk to the business community on the commercial side because some of those businesses will be seeing an increase. And that's 10 o'clock, 3580 Pine Ridge Road, First Florida Integrity Bank, June 7, 2018, 10 o'clock.
Okay. And where can people find this information? Is it on your website, and what is that site?
Yes, sir. www.northcollierfire.com. If you look on the main page, you'll see off to the right, important fire funding vote. We have literature. We have the consulting report from March 8th that was done at a public meeting. And we have also an informational card where you can send us so we can let you know if you're going to see an increase or a decrease if this gets voted in.
Okay. And Executive Director Sal D'Angelo, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. And thanks, everyone. We'll be on next week. It is going to be Armed Forces Day. I'm trying to round up some veterans that will be on the show. And I want to thank everybody for listening in. We couldn't take any calls, but I do appreciate if you do call. And hopefully we'll speak to you next week. Thanks, all.
Thanks for listening. The Liberty Weekly Review will be back next week, produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County. We wish you a great weekend. Paid for by the Libertarian Party of Collier.